We're dealing with the covenant of faith. It has the greatest promises and duties ever given. The covenant exceeds all other covenants between God and man, or between man and man, between God and man in the covenant of works. Nothing matches what God covenants with Christ and his seed. God's promises are in this incomparable to anything else. To Christ, the last Adam, what does God promise? Well, a mediator's office. And what's prophet, priest, and king. He gives him divine assistance. What kind of assistance?
Holy Spirit power.
Holy Spirit power.
Without measure.
Holy Spirit power without measure. Isaiah 42:1-4. Glorious exaltation after humiliation. When we take Christ's work and we divide it into the time he was humiliated and then exalted. Those two. The Father takes full delight in his obedience. Why?
Because
it's perfect. And he has complete success in what he does. Does he have complete success? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So if he has complete success, what did he came to do? He came to what? Okay, so he came to redeem sinners. Let's just say that. Redeem sinners. And was he successful in this?
Yes?
He was. So when he came to redeem sinners, what did he do? Okay, so let's just put it that way. Lived in a place. What else did he do?
Died in our place.
Died in our place. Okay. And why is asking the question, what did he do? How did he do it important when it comes to living in our place and dying in our place?
Obedience to the law, to fulfill the law.
Okay, so what Adam didn't do, Jesus did perfectly. And what Jesus did perfectly in living in our place was fulfilling what?
Divine justice.
Justice, what'd you say?
He fulfilled the covenant of works.
What fits in the box?
Do this and live.
Okay. Do this and live. Detail. He was very detailed in all that he did. So do this and live. So he lived in our place, which means that he fulfilled everything that the law required him to do, that Adam didn't do, that we're supposed to do. So he did everything that was required. And how did he do everything that was required?
By learning obedience through suffering.
Okay, learned obedience through suffering. And to what degree did he do it to? The what?
Bloodshed.
The utmost.
Yeah.
Right? Utmost degree. And he had complete success in doing this. So if he did it, is the Father pleased with him? Yes? Okay, so the Father's pleased with him. So if he did it and the Father's pleased with him, and he was successful... He was successful in redeeming sinners. Yes?
It was, but there was more to it.
How so?
You know, take our sins away as well.
Okay. So let's say, let's just put this up. Imputation. And we could say double. When I say double for imputation, what does that mean?
Our sins were imputed to him.
Okay, so our sins were given to him, and then?
His righteousness
is given. Kind of given?
No.
Actually given?
Yeah.
Okay. And since he is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, what would be a type in the Old Testament that deals with that concept?
Passover.
Passover. What was that?
Passing over those who had the blood on the door.
Passing over the ones who had the blood on the door. What blood did it come from?
The spotless lamb.
Spotless lamb. So that is a type of what Jesus did, right? Okay, so, and what else?
Day of Atonement.
Day of Atonement, right? Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And what happened on that day?
The high priest laid
the cost of the other.
Okay. And how long did God have to wait for everybody? Before I ask that question, let's ask a different question. When they killed the what?
Lamb.
And?
Blood.
Yeah, you had a goat. What happened with the goat?
They took it out.
Right, so you had multiple things going on that were all types of showing what he did, right? And when that happened, what people were affected?
Israel.
So when the Day of Atonement occurred, right? Is there any other way that someone can be saved?
No.
Why was the Day of Atonement important in that unless that occurred for them, they could not be saved?
Because the priest was the representative, and that's what God told him to do. He represented the people.
Okay, so the priest represented the people, and the couldn't, you know, Bob, the priest in the Amorite village, do the same thing? Why couldn't he do it?
They couldn't see the gospel where Jesus was.
Okay. So these types demonstrate the greatest promises ever given under the covenant of faith for God's people at that time in types and shadows, doing it this way. And it was for people. Okay, I'm going to draw a circle. This is the camp, right? Tabernacle. It's in the middle. It's what about these people?
No.
Outside the camp. Okay. So the Day of Atonement was for only those people inside the camp. Yes? So that's a type of what Jesus did. Does Jesus not do what he did for everyone?
For his elect, everyone who is, everyone who believes, all the elect.
Okay, again, it goes back to Adam and Jesus. First Adam, second Adam. Who does Adam represent?
All of mankind.
Okay, so he represents all of mankind. And Jesus represents all of mankind. No. Who does he represent?
All
his elect. What would be an Old Testament way of saying all of his elect?
The covenant people.
Covenant people. Everyone inside the camp. Or we can cross that word out, camp, and say church. Right? What did God promise Jesus? All of those things, and that he would be successful in doing them. What did he promise to Christ's seed? Restoration from sin to righteousness, imputed and inherent, eternal life through Jesus Christ, and to be their God. Jeremiah 31. The blessings surpass anything that's promised in Eden ever. Why? Give me like one, just one thing.
It's not conditional.
It's not conditional. In what way?
Based on man's obedience.
Okay.
Based on our own
works. How much obedience?
Perfect.
Perfect.
Which is Jesus' obedience.
Which is Jesus' obedience for his people. The duties required is that to undertake his office faithfully for the salvation of his seed and to rely on the Father, even in suffering. Jesus had to do that. But his people are to then restipulate. What does that word mean?
Put it in motion.
Put it in motion. How?
We're still required to live according to the law.
Okay. So what do these people tell him? Jesus says, I will do what you have asked of me. What do Jesus' people say? They restipulate the same thing, right? Now the question is about how they do it is a little different, because Jesus is going to do it perfectly, and how they do it is going to be a little different. To receive Christ by unfailing faith, John 1:12, to walk worthy of him, Colossians 1:10, and to be his covenant people, 1 Peter 2:9 and 10. So Christ fulfilled the law, satisfied God's justice, overcame death and hell, and shed his own blood. No suffering was like his, yet his faith never failed. He did everything that the Father wanted him to do. His people, their faith and obedience are wholly supernatural, stripping them of all boasting and glorifying Christ alone. Why would I say that it's wholly supernatural, stripping them of all boasting?
It's work of the Spirit. It's the inward man.
The glory is not ours.
It's all him.
So, God saves us without us.
No.
No.
Oh, well, in a sense, yeah. I guess.
He starts it without us. Yeah.
So he starts it without us. And yet. Yes.
You have to do something.
You pay
him. We do have to do stuff?
Yeah, but that's an outworking.
Right. That is an outworking. Right? We restipulate what it is that God wants us to do that way. The covenant of faith in that way is holy, gracious, ordered, sure, comfortable, and everlasting. It's holy. It unites sinners to God through Christ and sets them apart from worldly things to divine use. It's perfect, pure, and free from any sinful stain. The author is holy. The mediator is holy. And the parties are holy. And the benefits and duties are holy. Which is why, as we will see, Jude calls it in Jude 1:20, most holy faith, right? And our walk is to be in holiness and righteousness. It's free. How is it free if we have to do stuff?
Because we don't have to pay the penalty, the payment.
Someone's got to pay. Adam's covenant, someone's paying.
Every command is a promise.
It is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, Romans 4:16. That's not favor to the innocent, but mercy to the guilty, and it's completely and totally sovereign based on what Jesus has done. It's ordered in all things. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all things. 2 Samuel 23:5. That's why, you know, you just start talking about a few of those things. That it's ordered. I mean, how many times have you heard in covenant theology that the covenant of faith is ordered in a particular way? You probably never heard a sermon on it ever. Okay, but that's like a simple thing. God has ordered the way that redeemed sinners be redeemed through what Jesus has done. He's set it up specifically. It's not hypothetical.
Are you talking about the order of obedience?
No.
Okay.
Just the way that he has done something. He doesn't do things nonchalantly.
Right. Not at random.
Yes, it's not random. He's not in heaven.
His own prescriptions.
Right.
Got it.
He's not in heaven wringing his hands, hoping that whatever it is that Jesus has done, dead sinners will bring themselves alive and follow him.
Providence eliminates that.
Providence completely eliminates that. The promises, conditions, mediator, and blessings are all orderly and wisely distributed. There's a sermon in there somewhere. It is also sure. Can it fail?
No.
Cannot fail.
Christ is resurrected.
Yeah, it can't fail. So is he going to save anybody he's going to save? Will he save them?
Yes.
Is the Lord slow or slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness? Remember when Peter says that? Why does he say that?
Because God's time, I mean, I know it sounds cheesy, but or it's overused, but God's timing is literally perfect.
Okay, but like, what was the issue?
People
anybody know?
Drag their feet. They don't want to believe and follow.
Okay, right, so they don't
want to do whatever they want for a while
and
come to them another day.
And what else? What was it? What's his promise? We talk about it in the Lord's Supper every week when we say that will be part of his kingdom and be in communion with him. So there's these people in the early church who were like, he said he was going to come back and do these things right now. And Peter goes, no, the Lord's not slow in concerning his promise. Why? Let's change this. And now this is not the camp. Now this is the world. Right? And we could even do it like this.
Oh.
We could say,
all their sins are being...
Whose?
The sins of the people that don't believe, the wicked.
Yep. But put it on...
Wrath for the day of wrath.
Let's put it on the positive side.
Okay.
So I made the circles like that as the earth through time. Right? Here we are. Let's say... Right? We keep going back. Let's say we're right here. Right? And this is like the 1700s, and this is like the 1000, and here is zero, and here is Moses. Okay?
God's not willing that any...
God's not willing that any should perish. I don't explain.
It means he has a set time and a set amount of people that are going to be born at some point, and then the end comes.
He's not coming back until all are saved.
There you go.
Until all those who...
Right?
However he determines that that'll happen.
There's one last delay.
Yeah, there's one last one. I don't know when it is. Is Jesus' work sure?
Yes.
And will he lose any? No, he's not going to lose any. So it's sure. God's nature is true. God's nature is faithful. God's nature is wise, omnipotent, immutable. That ensures the covenant. I'm going to say it a million times. You get the covenant wrong, you get everything wrong. So if you don't understand God or yourself or the covenant, the three things, those three things are important. He also confirmed it by an oath. So he swore by himself, in which he's immutable, in which he's sure, in which he's wise, and all of those things. And he has given the sacrifice, the tokens, the blood of Christ. He's fulfilled everything all through the ages, and nothing, whether in God, Christ, believers, enemies, law, threat, or the covenant itself, can invalidate it. It is impossible. That's why the absolute utter stupidity of Pelagianism and Roman Catholicism and Arminianism and all of that junk is just so dumb. They do not understand basic things. They don't understand what Jesus did and that it's sure. They think he made a way.
Or even like they would get lost the second Adam and all those being in him.
Yep.
Because they don't understand depravity.
No, they don't understand depravity. Totally don't understand. They totally don't understand total depravity. That's correct. It's holy. The covenant of faith is called holy in both testaments. His heart shall be against the holy covenant, Daniel 11. He hath remembered his holy promise, Psalm 105. To remember his holy covenant, Luke 172. And it's holy in that it's set apart to God. Things that are holy are sanctified.
God has set them apart for a particular use, so they're in relationship to Him. It's perfect. It implies fullness and lack of defect. Therese was worried about my shirt. Is it ironed? Looked ironed to me. She says, no, there's some lines in the back. Some wrinkles. When Jesus returns, what will His church be? Without spot or wrinkle, it will be perfect. Mm-hmm. Pure. There is no sin or corruption in it. The author's holy, the mediator's holy, the parties are holy, the benefits are holy, and the conditions restipulated, like faith, are holy things. Your most holy faith. Again, Jude, verse 20. And what are we doing? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. It's heavenly, comes from heaven. It's spiritual and sublime. It's not earthly or carnal. It's formed in heaven and it leads to heaven. It's the just the Greek word hagios, that idea being not linked to earthly, fleshly, carnal things. It's a separating thing. God's perfectly holy. What do the angels incessantly chant? When have they ever stopped? Never. Did God forget? He needs them there so that they can remind Him what He is while He's sitting on His throne. Is that why they do it? Why do they incessantly do it?
Because they're amazed.
It's firm and unshakable. Augustine says in Latin, sanctus is the covenant. Implies something confirmed and established. The covenant is settled. It cannot be broken. It surpasses all man-made covenants. Those in covenant must themselves walk in holiness in thought, word, and deed. We'll get to later more about what that means. But we'll stop there. The covenant hides in it the greatest promises and duties that are ever given.